Podcasting live at the time we recorded it. From the studios in downtown Gulfport, Florida, it's WGAB, The Gabcast.
Welcome back to WGAB, The Gabcast, the Gabber Newspaper Production. I'm Patrick Heinzen, the news and politics reporter for The Gabber, and I'm here with...
Cameron Healy. I'm the assistant editor for The Gabber Newspaper, and we're going to talk about some stuff going down in the Deer Beach, and then everybody's favorite segment, Kathy with a cop. And then we're going to have a lovely story about a butterfly garden in Treasure Island. So Pat has all of the deets about Madeira Beach. What's going on?
Well, a couple weeks ago, the mayor of Madeira Beach, Jim Rostick, he resigned. Mm-hmm. And it, at least to people who aren't really from Madeira Beach, it kind of came as a surprise. In his resignation letter, he kind of accused the commission and specifically the city manager of some corruption in the city.
Oh.
And this looks like things like when they're bidding for a contractor, there's an example of the city manager, Robin Gomez, making a deal directly with a contractor instead of putting it out for bids, which is allowed by city code. And along with that, he talked about kind of a preferential treatment or selective enforcement kind of thing when it came to code violations. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I wasn't fully aware of, but residents of Madeira Beach definitely were.
Yeah.
Because ever since we broke the news that he resigned, I have countless emails and phone calls from residents.
Oh, okay.
That are
so
agreeing with him.
This was something kind of like the last straw.
Yeah.
For, like, residents, they were like, okay, well...
Oh, yeah, no, there's...
We
so,
need to talk.
I mean, to my understanding, Madeira Beach has always been kind of like this.
Oh, okay.
To where it's been... There's always been issues with the city, because Madeira Beach is a pretty wealthy area, but from what I can tell from residents, there's still a disparity in that wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a pretty big gap in between the lowest end and the highest end.
Yeah.
Even if the lowest end is higher than a lot of other lowest ends.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I could get from residents was like some of the people that have these higher end houses are paying more taxes and stuff are kind of getting breaks. That's what it kind of came down to was breaks with code violations. I had a resident, Tim Grunman,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke with me about how the city was always hassling him for... He built walls in his lower outdoor level. He built the fence around his house in a specific way. The floor in his basement or lowest level wasn't like up to code in some way, and he mm-hmm. like worked to bring it up to code. Whereas his neighbor, who is developing a $4.5 million house right now, is
please.
According to him, he's gone and he's like lasered there, like he's measured how high their driveway is and how many flood vents they have in their lower level, and they're against code.
Oh, okay.
But the city isn't enforcing that.
Everything that he's had to work with the city has been what he thinks is a lot more troublesome for him than like the people who have richer homes. Like they don't have to go through as much stuff.
Yeah, that's what he said. and he's moving for relatively unrelated reasons. He mm-hmm. did say that one of the reasons he's moving is this issue, but I spoke with another resident, Peter, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce his last name, Piscata, something in that realm.
I actually don't know, I'm so sorry.
I apologize, Peter. But something I will say is both Peter and Tim, mm-hmm. and other residents I've spoken to that didn't want to be on record for fear of retribution from the city.
Yeah.
All of them were very passionate about this, had a lot to say, had specific examples and reasons why they were saying these things.
Yeah.
But Peter is moving, A, because of the storm risk, but also because of the government.
Yeah.
He's
are two completely valid reasons.
He's not happy with the way that things are being run. And one of the things that he said to me was the city cares more about condos than it does about the residents.
I mean,
we were in Madeira Beach yesterday, and there was just condo after condo being built.
I looked up a place on Madeira Beach that I thought was a house, and when we showed up, it was a
construction site for condos.
Yeah, for condos. It used to be a like a house, and I was like, where is it?
Yeah.
No, it's now going to be condos. They are just now kind of structuring it.
Yeah, and they both made some bold claims, I'll say, of they both kind of said that there might be something going on in on the back end with money being funneled into people's pockets. Somebody said...
Sounds like Mattress Firm.
Somebody, I don't remember if it was Tim or Peter, but one of them said that more tax money means eventually a raise for the city manager. So the more expensive houses coming in, the more wealthy people coming in, more tax money coming in. So that
some other intentions going on.
That was something that was kind of brought up by everybody who I spoke to. And like I said, only two people wanted to go on record, but we had more that reached out. And they were all kind of talking about the same thing. I mean, they
that
all
stinks for real, though.
And the city manager denied these allegations, said that he said that when the mayor brought stuff up, they did their best to explain these issues or kind of work around these issues, and it just never really came together.
Yeah.
But as of right now, the District 4 Commissioner, Anne Marie Brooks, is sitting in the mayor's seat, and they're looking for somebody to fill the District 4 Commissioner.
All right. Well, if you think you can fill that spot, hit up Madeira Beach.
Yeah. Check out Madeira Beach if you want. I mean,
if you want. If you want to get
on, you're
going to
be under some scrutiny from residents, unless you're, depending on how you're feeling, but...
do it for the people, maybe?
They were all very also upset that the mayor was the only elected official.
That's crazy.
Everybody else was appointed. So
it's like
everybody, I believe it was Peter who said that the mayor is the only one who was on their side.
That's what they felt. Yeah.
And he's gone now because he just couldn't get stuff done. They weren't letting him get stuff done in his eyes. And that led to the commission when the District 4 seat is filled. That's going to be five appointed seats and not elected seats. And then a city manager, which is kind of the ultimate authority in the city, also not being elected. So the whole city government is going to be appointed and not elected.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really sit right with a lot of people.
Yeah, understood. I would feel that way too, honestly.
Yeah.
But that's where they're at, and that's all we have for updates on that. But we'll keep you guys updated if we hear any more information about Madeira Beach and their city government and all of that. But as of right now, we're going to get rolling on to Gulfport and have everybody's favorite segment, Kathy with a cop.
Right back on WGAB The Gabcast.
Find all your Gulfport and Tampa Bay beaches news and things to do at thegabber.com.
Everyone, welcome back. Now that you've had all the super serious stuff about all the ways Madeira Beach is going to hell, I have never seen a city that changes city managers more than I change shoes. They're bad. It just seems like a constant state of stress. But we're in Gulfport. And actually, in that article this week, if you pick up a copy of The Gabber or read it online, there's a great quote from a resident who was very disgruntled saying, well, it's not like Gulfport, like, because we're the paradigm of what we should be.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I agree with that. So here with us this week, he's been on the podcast before. This is Rob Burkhardt, who is a sergeant with the Gulfport Police Department. And we're going to talk about something that cops love to talk about, and that is celebratory gunfire. So,
celebratory
Rob,
gunfire.
Question.
Okay.
I've got five guns.
Okay.
How many of them can I shoot into the air on the 4th of July?
None.
But the law says I can shoot bullets on my property.
As far as I know, it's illegal to discharge a firearm within the city, within Pinellas County.
But so, how am I going to celebrate freedom if I don't shoot guns into the air?
How about legal fireworks?
My dog's scared of fireworks.
Well, then sparklers would be a good solution.
All right.
How about sparklers?
But what's the problem? It's just it goes up in the air. It's bullets.
Well,
who cares?
What goes up must come down, and what comes down often hits buildings and cars and, in the rare instance, people. So that's why we don't want to do that.
I am, of course, kidding. I only shoot my shotguns in the air.
Oh, no, so the one projectile. It's
just one.
Yeah, there's a lot of little projectiles in that one shotgun shell.
But seriously, I joke about all of it because, you know, it's I never understood.
I could never see you out there in your yard like Yosemite Sam flying.
Hey, you give me that 10-gallon hat and those nice sideburns and the mutton chops, man.
Yeah.
A fifth of tequila and a couple of guns, and anything can happen. But seriously, I don't understand it, but okay. I get that this is a thing people like to do.
Yes.
And I get that, yes, it comes down. I know once when I was a reporter, we talked about somebody who stood up at city council and said, well, we didn't do it, but we were sitting in our backyard and a bullet came down through so-and-so's hat visor, barely missed their brain. Mm-hmm. I hate to ask this question, but we all know why it's bad. And people choose to do it anyway. What can you do? Is it even worth calling the police and going, someone's shooting off a gun in my neighborhood?
Well, so what I have proven numerous times over the years, and not necessarily the 4th of July, but with New Year's Eve, when I was in patrol, I would take video of the celebration, you know, right at midnight. And a lot of the police officers, we would find protection under the Wells Fargo drive-thru. You know, for the bullets coming down, and I would take video and just to show you how much really it's a significant amount, and it's for the most part it's east of 49th Street. You know, I'm not going to say that celebratory gunfire doesn't happen in Gulfport, but I've proven many times, at least on New Year's Eve, a majority of it is coming from east of 49th Street. Now, unfortunately. With the trajectory of the bullets, depending on what the person, you know, the direction the person is firing and up, you know, a lot of them come down in Gulfport. And we take a lot of reports, you know, that night or the morning after of reports of, you know, holes in car roofs, specifically a lot at Beachway Mobile Home Park with bullet holes in carports and the mobile home roofs that are there that are easily penetrated.
So wait a second. You're saying a lot of the gunfire that you've witnessed is happening east of 49th Street. Mm-hmm. Beachway Mobile Home Park is at least 4 or 5 blocks west of 49th Street.
It can go, I believe, at least a mile.
Shoot it up in the air, can come down a mile away?
A mile away, oh yeah.
So Madeira Beach could be doing this to us.
Good possibility, I guess.
Maybe
you know,
their city manager's doing it.
I got to see in physics, so I'd have to go back to college to figure that.
Shouldn't make light of it. I just get frustrated because I feel like this is one of those things. I have a dog who's very reactive. I have one dog who doesn't care. She's like, whatever, shut up and go back to sleep to the other dog. Yeah. But I have one that she's just a quivering mass. And it's frustrating because there's nothing you can do.
It's very frustrating. And even so, hypothetically speaking, even if you hear, say it's one of your neighbors and you hear pop, 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 and you happen to know the difference between a firework and a gunshot, which are very similar. You know, there's people that can tell the difference, and I believe I'm one of them, but I've heard
thousands
of them over the years, right? But, you know, by the time we get there, you know, you call us, and by the time we get there, everybody's gone, and no one's seen anything, and, you know, so, and there's very little follow-up on, even when we do go to those calls, like Beachway Mobile. Well, let's take me, for example. Over the years, I've had two police cars shot from celebratory gunfire. And there's nothing you can do. Like, you just have the bullet
insurance
fragment.
Insurance claim?
Yeah. Well, insurance claim. Or just, in my case, drove around. Well, one time it went into the B pillar of my cruiser. And we just left it for the remainder of the life of the car. And then the other time was a windshield. So I think we had the windshield replaced.
You can't do any CSI stuff on the bullets?
No, because it's not, you're not dealing with the casing. You're dealing with just the actual the bullet, and by the time, you know, it's so deformed by striking whatever it struck, and it's not like you're going to be able to
fingerprint it.
It's not a murder case, so you're not going to, you know, spend
what if it killed
thousands
somebody?
Of dollars. Well, then that would be a different case, and we would certainly investigate it a lot more. But if we investigated every case of celebratory gunfire, we'd be broker than broke. those investigations cost a lot of money.
Sure, they do. I'm sure there's people out there going, well, they need to do their jobs.
We try. If we catch somebody, we will arrest them and have them prosecuted.
Get it.
So.
Get it. Well, I feel like this wasn't a very cheerful Kathy with a cop, but.
Well, we can talk more about celebratory gunfire.
What do you want to talk about? Well, I know what I want to talk about.
Okay.
You have a wonderful story. You've been on the force for how long?
20, well, what is today? So July 2nd.
Today is July 2nd.
So 24 years, 7 months, and what, 2 days. Well, I started, well, I shouldn't say it's not. I started on the 13th, so right around the millennium. Okay. So 24 years, 7 months, let's say.
So you have been on this city.
Yes.
As a police officer, longer than some people we've hired have been alive.
Yes.
You are a whole person who can drink.
Yeah, there's, on this police force. I believe there's people now working in the police department that I started before. Well, hey, take Chief Vincent. He's been there over 30 years.
I know. Yeah. And he still looks like Babyface.
It's good living.
He does, I'm sure. So I've known you since 2003, 4,
something like that.
And over the years, you know, you used to be the PIO, public information officer, and I was a reporter, and so I spent a lot of time talking to Rob. Mm-hmm. My husband and I first moved in together. He only had to ask once why I was getting a phone call at 2 a.m. from a Rob Burkhart. Oh, yeah, somebody killed themselves. I got to go. But you've told me some great stories.
Okay.
And I would like to put you on the spot and ask you to tell me the one about the lady giving tax advice.
Oh, boy. Well,
so this was not somebody who still lives here, I assume, and it was a long time ago.
Well, truth be told, I haven't seen nor heard from this person since that day. So
can you tell the story?
Yeah, I'll have to clean it up for the listeners because it is rather...
You don't have to clean anything up for us.
Well...
We're gritty.
So long story short, there were some complaints about a woman who was showing herself on online with some of the city... beloved city landmarks in the background.
She's posing naked around the city?
Yes.
I didn't know that part.
Yes.
Awesome. Like doing a pole dance at the casino?
No, let's just say they were photographs near the beachfront with she had a wrap on, but you know, she would undo her wrap and whoever her friend was taking pictures and posting them online and on a certain
So where's the
certain,
crime?
She was offering her services, let's say, and
what were her services offered?
Let's say prostitution.
How do you know that? Is that how she advertised herself?
It was very cleverly advertised.
I want to hear about this. Yeah. I want all of our listeners to hear about this because I love this story.
She claimed, you know, without wasting too much time, she claimed to be giving tax advice. So what you would do is go in there and you would agree ahead of time to the act which you were going to perform with.
Was it sex? I mean, we're talking about sex,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
you could say
absolutely.
Sex. It's okay.
Well, I don't...
There's no four-year-olds watching this.
Well, there's probably a city manager and a police chief and a
okay,
commander,
so fair.
So
okay. I got it.
I got to keep it clean.
So she was promising sexy times.
Sexy times. And then you were to put the predetermined amount of money into an envelope that was marked tax advice. And then whenever the time was ready, she would come out and say, pay your taxes by April 15th. Now let's come back. So she was giving you tax advice.
So technically, she didn't break any laws.
Well, you know.
What did you charge her with? And how did y'all figure this out?
Yeah, we didn't charge her. We didn't charge her. And I'm going to leave names out. She was basically told that if you want to continue your tax service, we're going to park a marked patrol car in front of your house and see how many clients you get. So. She vacated the premises pretty quickly.
Didn't she live down here at the old Holiday Inn?
No. This was right behind. It was right behind here.
We're in the village courtyard, so if you're giving tax advice,
far,
just be
yeah.
careful.
No, this was detective sergeant then, so that's 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. I like that story. There's other stories, but if you're not going to get graphic, I can't ask.
No,
the next
you know what? Somebody just asked me the other day. I had one of the greatest stories, and it's something that can be told. I had $1.5 million worth of artwork recovered. You ever tell you this story?
No.
Do we have time?
Yes.
All right. So here's how it goes. So one day I get a call, and the records clerk says, "Hey, someone out there wants to talk to you." So out there, there's a gentleman, a briefcase, and he wants to speak to me. I bring him in the interview room, and a very thick Polish accent. And he says that he is descendant of Polish royalty. So right now, like my meter's already going BS, right? And the guy says he has works. What do you call them? Icons? Russian icons worth $1.5 million that were stolen from his Town Shores condo. And I said, well, okay. And he proceeds to remove these documents from his briefcase, and the documents were appraisals from Christie's Auction House and then insurance policies from Lloyd's of London. I'm like, okay. So I make a couple of phone calls, and this guy's legit, and he's got these, he's claiming these things are stolen, and they were paintings of the Jesus and the Virgin Mary, right? So, I said, well, what happened? And he says, well, I come here in the winter from Poland, and I brought he kept calling them icons or paintings, but I brought these paintings with me, and, my next door neighbor was Russian. And I felt that, you know, because they were Russian works of art, that she would like to see them. So I brought her over and I showed her the paintings, and she thought they were very beautiful. And I asked her to water my plants while I was out of town. And when I came back a couple months later, I noticed my paintings were gone. And she was the only one that had access to my condo, right, or my apartment. So he gives me the name, and the woman, I look her up, she's 96 years old, right? So now I'm like, what kind of Indiana Jones stuff is this? Like, and I'm talking, these things were made in like the 1500s. Like, we're not talking something that was just painted, you know, finger paints at on a Friday night down at Beach Boulevard. Like, right? These were legit.
Wow. Yeah. That was, okay, we're going to let that go.
No, but I mean, what I mean is they were old, you know? So, the woman I found was at the fountains down in South Pasadena, right? So I go down there, and I'm only going to say, like, this woman's 96, right? So the whole time, I'm like, I'm going to have to take this woman away in handcuffs. She's 96 years old, right? So I get to the fountains, and I tell the nurse what's going on. I'm like, okay, we'll go get her. So they wheel her in. She's in a wheelchair, and they bring me into this. It was a big kind of a boardroom, right? So I introduce myself, and, you know, I tell her why I'm there, and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to read you your Miranda rights because I'm going to have to ask you some questions that could result in your arrest. And she goes, in her very thick Russian accent, she goes, you're here for paintings. I'm 96-year-old. I donate them to Russian monastery. Take me to jail. I die soon anyway.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Yeah. She just admitted it?
Flat out admitted. She said, take me to jail. I'll die soon anyway. And I said, well...
Really, not a sterling recommendation for the fountains, but okay.
It gets better. Well, I mean, what did they know? They were just, their jaws dropped just as much as I did, right? So she tells me where they're at, and they're in a Russian Orthodox monastery in Rochester, New York, right?
Okay.
So I call, and I get Father so-and-so, and I ask him if he knows who the woman was. And he's like, oh, she's such a beautiful woman. Donate beautiful works of art. I'm like, okay, great. I said, Father, I have a problem. I said, those were stolen. And he proceeds to hang up on me. He didn't want to believe that they were stolen. Like, such a nice woman could steal.
So what did you do?
Well, I told the prince that, you know, I know where they're at. You might want to call your lawyer. And I found out a couple months later that he did indeed get his works of art back, and all was well, and no charges were filed. And Who'd think in Gulfport something like that?
Actually, you know? I would expect nothing less from Gulfport, honestly.
Yeah, well, a million. So, but who keeps $1.5 million worth of artwork?
I don't know. I think that's
closet,
the one time,
right?
Somebody has actually said to a police officer in Gulfport, I am descended from any royalty, and it's been true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Well, yeah. So who'd have thunk? That was probably one of the.
I never heard that story before. Yeah, that kind of makes my heart happy.
Isn't it cool?
Like, if I was 96 and someone had stolen art from my country and then showed it to me, not that he stole it.
Well, it probably happened back in the 1400s or something, whenever they were made.
I'm just picturing, like, Indiana Jones. These belong in a museum.
Yes, it was a lot. Yeah. Yeah, but in a very Gulfport-y kind of way.
Oh, my God. Why wasn't I alerted to this so I could write about
it? This was years ago. I could get you the report.
Well, I don't think it's news anymore, but it's great.
No, but it's a great story, isn't it?
And we appreciate you telling it.
Yeah.
All right.
So much for the 4th of July. We're going to
talk
about...
No, this was good. You ended on a high note.
Crime. Yeah, well, I'd like to.
Don't shoot guns.
Don't shoot
into
guns
the air.
In the air, please.
Or at people. I mean, yeah. Unless, you know what, I'm going to leave it there. Just don't shoot guns.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
High five. Knuckle bump.
Knuckle bump.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Sergeant Rob Burkhart.
Been a pleasure.
One of Gulfport's finest.
Thank you.
I'll see you or another police officer next week.
Okay. Next week. You do this every week?
We do this every week. Thanks for listening.
This is once a month. Every
Dude,
week? Wow.
Every week.
You have high expectations of us.
Yeah.
And someone's got to be here every week and do this?
Cop's got to be here every week for something.
Wow. Well, no wonder they picked me. Okay.
No, you've only been asked twice. Trust me.
Well, the first time wasn't police related.
That's so, true. Yeah, it was your other...
My side hustle.
It was so, when you were... Yeah, your side hustle. I prefer to think of it as a side quest.
My retirement gig.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you next time, or another police officer who hopefully will have even funnier stories.
Yeah,
that's the goal now.
That's the goal. You got to top me.
What's your best policing story? No, not you. Save it. I'm going to ask all the cops.
Yeah, save it for later.
I got to talk to Cameron about butterflies now.
Cool.
All right. We'll be right back with Cameron, butterflies, and things people are doing on the beach.
Did you know, in 1968, our founder, George Brann, started the Gabber newspaper, then called the Gulfport Gabber, to hold Gulfport City Council accountable. Read more of our City Council coverage and learn about our policies on reporting, fact-checking, and funding. Visit thegabber.com.
And we're back. Welcome back to WGAB, the Gabcast. I am still Kathy without a cop. I am Kathy with a Cameron, because Cameron went on an...
adventure.
Chrysalis adventure.
Chrysalis.
Fluttering adventure. Chrysalis adventure. And she's going to tell us about it. Cameron?
Yeah.
Do you have any butterflies?
I don't have any butterflies myself.
Do you feel bad that you don't have any butterflies?
Yeah, I probably could have butterflies. They actually gave me... seeds to start my own butterfly garden.
And wait, who gave you seeds? We haven't told people who they are.
Guys, guess what? Great. There's a butterfly garden at Blind Pass Lagoons Condos, and it was started by, let me guess their names right, Helen Tilden and Vicky Finch. So these lovely two ladies, I met with them at their condo complex, and they gave me a really in-depth tour of all of the plants that they have, all of the different flowers, and all the different locations of their, they have multiple little butterfly gardens.
Butterfly throughout the property?
Yeah. So it's like you walk towards the back. So, okay. First of all, you drive in and there's the front entrance sign. They have a huge like thing of, I can't remember what the flower is called, but it's just one
pollinator attracting flower.
Yes. So a lot of those flowers, they're orange. And then they have along the side of like one of the parking spaces is more flowers and a little bit more of like succulents. And they have butterfly puddles and things that are meant to give them the certification of a butterfly garden.
So when I was reading your article, I thought there was a couple things cool about it, because we all know pollinators are a problem. As I understand it, there are so few pollinators in China that they have to hand pollinate their crops so they can eat.
I didn't know that. Yes. That's actually wild.
You know what else I know that I love about pollinators?
Okay.
Mosquitoes are pollinators.
I hate them.
I know, but they're pollinators.
Whatever.
I'm so conflicted
pollinators
about
pollinators by sucking our blood?
No, they need the blood to make the babies. It's some weird mosquito kink. Let's move past it.
Anyway.
But we all know that we need pollinators.
Yeah.
And we all want – everybody loves the idea of attracting pollinators. But what I thought was so cool is that this is on St. Pete Beach, which floods –
it's on Treasure Island.
Treasure Island. Sorry. Treasure Island.
Yes.
But so it floods. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these butterfly attracting plants can't tolerate being underwater. So I thought it was so cool what they did. They learned their lesson, right? Because it happened once.
Happened three times.
They
that
had to replant three times. And then when the fourth time, they're like, you know what? Let's just put them in pots so that if a storm comes, we just move them. And I think that's brilliant. I mean, that's like such an elegant solution that I don't know that I ever would have thought of. I think I would have just been like, well, I guess can't have butterflies here. We're screwed.
Well, that's the best part, is knowing that you can have just a potted plant. Anybody could start a butterfly garden.
And we like plants. They're pretty when they flower, right?
So. Yeah. And if you just like live in a condo like they do, or an apartment, or even just like in a house, you can have a potted plant just sitting on your little porch or your front steps or whatever you do. Just as long as it's in sun, you can start your own little butterfly garden with all the different seeds they gave me. I didn't even
And what is the name of the – there's an organization, North American
– Yeah, I think
that,
it's
that
the,
you can get – you can probably get tips there, because I know you can get
– You can probably talk to them.
Yeah.
It's called the North American Butterfly Association, and they are the ones who were able to certify their Helen and Vicky's butterfly garden. So they now are officially just a overall a certified butterfly garden and a monarch butterfly garden. That's so cool. I saw a bunch of butterflies when I was there.
I know, like, your pictures are so great.
Oh my God, there's so many. And well, I got to see them back in May. So they also had a bunch of caterpillars hanging around, and they like keep track of them. So everybody who over, cause it's been since they started in April of 2023. And so it's been about over a year, a little bit.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of people involved now, but they are the two that started it. So everybody kind of keeps their eyes out on butterflies and caterpillars. They're like, I saw a caterpillar over wherever, and it's far away from all the plants. Like, aww. I'm going to go make save sure. It. Yeah, like they will move them.
So it can be actively stressful. I had milkweed one year. Mm-hmm. It died at some point. We'll probably put more in, but we have other pollinators. But we had milkweed in our right in front of our sunroom at the house so we could watch the butterflies. But it got to be stressful because they would come, the monarchs would lay the eggs, and we'd get cats, like caterpillars, and they'd eat all the milkweed. And I go, oh my, I mean, it got to be this self-defeating thing. Like, I'd run out and buy more milkweed, and then there'd be more caterpillars. And then I'd go out and buy more, and it was like the more, and it was very stressful.
Yeah, they're super hungry. Like,
there, it's that book, that kid's book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. That's not hyperbole, that's real.
That is real. They are starved.
Can I tell you my sweet caterpillar story?
Yeah. What happened?
When I was a very tiny girl and we lived in New York, very tiny, which means I was probably not even four. I was at my grandparents' house and I found a little caterpillar. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather very sweetly said, well, let's, you know, take it home. Did this thing they did with kids, put it in a little empty artichoke jar, glass jar, mm-hmm. poke some holes in the top. My mom and dad took it home and they're like, Kathy, you can't keep this. It's not going to live in this apartment. And I was so sad. And I cried. I was crying. I was like, you have to release your, it's not going to live. It won't be a butterfly. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks later, a butterfly flew up to our window. We were like on the 7th floor. And my mom's like, look, the butfly is coming back to thank you for letting it go free. I am sure that was not completely not what was true, happening, but she made that connection with me, and it so stuck with cute. Me forever. So, yeah.
No, that's so actually so cute. I'm a
fan of butterflies.
Yeah, I love when I see – if you don't react, like, excited when you see a butterfly, I feel like what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I was at some place that they had one of those butterfly – things that you can walk through, and they've got like the beads so the butterflies can't get out, and they have all the pollinator demonstration gardens so you can see if you want this, and they had houses set up so you could watch different butterflies hatch or whatever happens. And I remember one landed on me, and I was like, that's like a bird pooping on you. That's good luck.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd immediately think I'm superior to every other human being.
I must be descended from Polish royalty.
Oh.
See how we bring it full circle?
Yes. The owner of paintings is very similar to owning the Gabber newspaper.
I think so. If a butterfly lands on me, it's
true. Does that mean I'm a princess?
You can be a princess. And on that note, are we anything else you want to say? Are we?
I would love to say I love butterflies, and I'm Cameron.
I too love butterflies. I am Kathy. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on WGAB, the Gabcast.